Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700, the champ.
We're off on the drive. 1700, the champ. A little glitch there as we got things started, but we're here with you. Trent Condon, alongside Wolfgang, we talk the world of sports with you for the next 2 hours. Lots to get into, certainly, this afternoon, and a busy program lined up today. Kicking things off, Kevin Lehman will be our first guest this afternoon, about 4:15, 4:20. We'll talk college basketball with Kevin. We will get into, certainly, the Iowa matchup tomorrow night with Wisconsin. A look at Iowa State as they prepare a week from tonight. It'll be the Cy-Hawk matchup, Iowa-Iowa State. And, of course, you and I and Drake will take a look around the MVC with Kevin Lehman. After that, we turn our attention over to some college football. Ben Kercheval will be our guest, CBSSports.com. Plenty of different things to get into. Is there a path for the Buckeyes to surpass Oklahoma for the fourth spot if it comes down to that? We'll talk about that more with Ben Kercheval. Mm-hmm. And then the 5 o'clock hour, Ben Visser from the Cedar Rapids Gazette will be talking Cyclones with him, football, basketball, maybe even a little bit of wrestling here on a Thursday. What's happening, Wolfgang?
Nothing. You just brought up something, and you know I've got some Oklahoma blood in me.
Yes.
But I've also got some Big Ten blood in me. I would love nothing more than Oklahoma to be in that four. But everybody acting like this is over or some obvious pick?
It's over.
Okay, there's two questions there.
Okay.
So you're saying it's over. That's fair. And tell me, you can tell me why it's over. Then should it be over?
Yeah, I think so. Oklahoma, this is, again, with both losing, or both winning, excuse me.
Yeah, both winning, yep.
Ohio State got beat by 29 by a 6-6 team. I can't get over that. I just can't get over that. Yes, the win against Michigan was impressive. More impressive than anything that you have. But you can't
but
just
a lot more impressive.
A lot more impressive.
A lot. What about Oklahoma?
Oklahoma scoring 50 points a game, no problem. And Kyler Murray could play left-handed. He'll probably put 50 up. That's impressive, too. Defense stinks.
Offense, defense, special teams, got to be everything. Everybody will forget. I feel like terrible putting this out, you know?
Well, here's the other thing. Ohio State, people are making it, and this is something that drives me nuts, that it was just the Purdue game. They were terrible for long stretches.
Terrible? What do you mean terrible?
Stop
with your terrible.
For them, for Ohio State, with that much talent, they played terribly. No, they still won because they're a lot more talented than the teams. That game against Minnesota, they were awful. They were awful.
Awful.
For them.
Yes, got
for
you.
Them. That's what we're talking about.
I'm going to look
here.
Up Oklahoma scores. Do you want me to do that? Nobody's doing that. Everybody's dissecting Ohio State's for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
We all hate them. I get that. Whatever. I don't know. And everybody's sticking up for Oklahoma. Everybody forgets it went into overtime against Army, for God's sakes.
Army is a 9-win team. Am I right?
Has anybody pointed that out but me?
That Army's a 9-win team? No, I did.
you and I, whatever I'm trying to say there, but you don't see.
It's a good point, though. It is a good point because we're breaking down, and like I said, Ohio State, for their standards, they played poorly in a lot of games. The Indiana game, the Maryland game, the Minnesota game. For their standards, they played poorly in, of course, the loss that they had to Purdue. But Oklahoma, you're right. And maybe it's just because
they're getting a pass, I promise you. And
yeah,
this is the
yes,
that I want them there.
There's probably a glare coming through the radio right now.
I'm telling you, if I had a magic wand, put Oklahoma there, it'd make me happy. It'd make my family happy. I would be raging, partying, having a party, having everybody over to watch Oklahoma take on Bama. Are you kidding me? I could not wait to watch that. Big 12 taking on the power. Watching Kyler Murray, who I don't remember too many guys in my lifetime of ever watching football that is more fun than that guy, dude, for real.
And go through. I mean, they gave up 40 to Kansas.
So you're the first person in all of radio that is actually doing this. Thank you, Trent. Please go. Oklahoma.
We talked about the Army game. You go through Texas Tech, 51-46. That's a Texas Tech team that fired their coach, Cliff Kingsbury. Oklahoma State, they survived.
1 point, man. And didn't they miss an extra point?
A 2-point conversion would have beat them.
Thank you. Please go on, because you are bringing up stuff
West Virginia,
will hear nowhere else.
You know, West Virginia is okay. They're a good team, even as bad as they looked in Ames themselves. It's still a good football. But
yeah,
you're
West
right.
West Virginia's good. Absolutely.
It feels like you bring up a great point, Wolfgang, because
say that one more time. I think it cut out there. Your computer froze up again.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I only say it once. You have to be listening. You have to be listening for me to say it. No, you really do, because it's easy for Ohio State, at least for me, to break them down. And Oklahoma hasn't got those slings. But I think it goes to what we heard Tuesday night when the committee chair was talking. One of the things that he brought up is that the component was strength of schedule was in Oklahoma's favor, and it wasn't close. It wasn't also a blowout, but there was a step above for Oklahoma overall, their strength of schedule. And then who they play this week? They play Texas. Now, is this a great Texas team? No, but a pretty good one and a chance to avenge a loss. And Ohio State plays Northwestern. So Oklahoma wins 31-30. What does Ohio State have to do? 66-3? That's what they did to Wisconsin a few years back. And remember, leapfrog TCU and Baylor in the process to get into the playoff that year. Is that what it takes?
The strength of schedule thing, again, I've told you I have a problem with that. There's a difference between like what your strength of schedule is versus which schedule would you rather play in order to somehow have a better shot at making the college Final Four playoff team. Mm. Oklahoma played nobody like Michigan, man. Nobody. And I want Oklahoma in there. Penn State doesn't suck. What's Penn State ready now? Penn State doesn't suck. We can sit here and pretend. I don't know what it is about Big Ten. Everybody just likes to bash them. And then in order for us, we as radio guys or people that are writing articles, we feel like it makes us feel bigger to bash the Big Ten as well. Well, everybody else is, so I have to. No, I don't. Look at Oklahoma's schedule right now, Trent. This is live, folks.
All right.
And then look at Ohio State's schedule and Oklahoma. I don't care what the analytics say. Which schedule would you rather play in order to have a shot at getting to the Final Four?
Ohio State. It opened Oregon State, Rutgers, TCU in Dallas, Tulane, at Penn State, home for Indiana and Minnesota, at Purdue, Nebraska at home, at Michigan State, at Maryland, Michigan to finish it up at home. Oklahoma played Florida Atlantic, UCLA, at Iowa State, Army, Baylor, Texas neutral, at TCU, K-State, at Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and then at West Virginia.
What's the computer seeing there? You tell me. I'm not seeing what the computer is seeing, man.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying with that strength of schedule? I don't buy it. I don't buy that crap. And I want Oklahoma in there. I'd rather just say, yep, way to go, computer. This is me being real. This is me being real. If you look at that.
Who would you, what of those two schedules, what would you
rather play? I'd rather play Oklahoma's schedule any day of the week. Because you said Ohio State played TCU, right?
Yeah.
So you got one of that. You got Maryland that beat the team that Oklahoma lost to.
Mm-hmm.
So Maryland sucks, right? Well, they beat Texas, the team that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't. Oh, boy. This is going to be a rough night, man.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Do you have an extra spare bedroom?
I do. We can put you in it. Strength of schedule, according to Sagarin, 37th in the country for Oklahoma, 43rd for Ohio State.
So, Trent, how would you. So, you don't understand. I've been struggling with how to put that into words.
Mm hmm.
Strength of schedule versus which you would rather play to actually have a better chance of making the Final Four, or does that make sense? Are you getting what I'm saying?
I do.
How do you put that into words?
Well, I think that you are working towards becoming, you're making your way towards ESPN because you're trying to get to a made-up metric that you're coming up with over there.
What would you call that? The
Wolfgang Power Index.
Yeah, because I don't care if you...
So WPI.
If you play 12... teams ranked in the 40s, congratulations.
Yeah.
Good job out of you. So what?
You know what that is? That's the Iowa schedule of 2015.
But do you get what? So I'm struggling to come up with the words. There's going to be an article on Hawkeye Nation coming soon that I'm going to write. I will get out my thesaurus. I will figure out how to put it into words. I have to sit down. I'm going to need your help because I don't know how to say it other than look at both schedules. Which would you rather play? Which would you rather? Isn't that a game? Would you rather?
Would you rather?
What do you think? Would you rather play this schedule or that schedule? There's my SOS.
Would you rather eat a booger of a rhinoceros or drink the pee of a hippo? Yeah. Would you rather?
Did you have those kids that ate? I don't get the booger eaters, man.
You don't?
No, I've never gotten them, man. Maybe we're missing something.
What, eating boogers? How did we get to this point?
You brought it up, not me.
All right, let's get into something more relevant than booger eating. And let's go.
Let's talk clones.
Dolphgate 2018. Gary Dolphin has been suspended two games by Learfield and the University of Iowa. He will not call the game tomorrow against Wisconsin, nor will he call the game the following Monday against Michigan State. Today, Fran McCaffrey met with the media. Gary Barta, who, to me, incited things with his press release last night, talking about ongoing issues, concerns, made this an even bigger story with what he said in the press release. Of course, Gary Barta wasn't available for comment, but he's not available for comment because there's still some things they're working out. Wolfgang, this is pure conjecture and speculation. I believe Gary Dolphin has called his final game as an Iowa basketball broadcaster.
Okay, you're not a guy that goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and goes crazy and does stuff like that. So when you say it, it means something. There are some radio guys said that, oh, everybody tune in. That's not what you do. I get it. When you say something like that, it means something to me. So I'm going to take that like you really meant it, and I know you really meant it. That would just be ridiculous. And so thinking from where you're coming from, I can't think of why Gary Barta would do what he did.
Yes.
Unless that's the case. If that is the case, if there's something we don't know, and so he's kind of putting it out there.
And he opened it up for the speculation, and that's what I've been doing all day today, is speculating about what those issues could be. He opened it up. There had to be a reason behind it. I mean, Gary Barta has made a lot of mistakes, but come on. He wouldn't just do that just because he thought it would sound good in a press release. There has to be more here. And Fran McCaffrey talked about that today. He said up front, doesn't really have a great relationship with Gary Dolphin. That can be a problem. It's a working relationship that they have, but there's been issues. With all this all working together, I truly believe Gary Dolphin, he'll be there for football. He'll be at the bowl game. He'll be calling it there.
Oh, so you're saying just so you're
basketball.
Okay.
Basketball.
You believe Trent Connaughton is saying right now, folks, that he thinks Gary Dolphin has called his last
basketball game.
Wow.
For the University of Iowa.
Dude.
Yeah.
This is, why are we ruining this season?
They're 6-0. They have their first top 25 matchup in only over 3 years in Carver.
What are we
Wisconsin's
doing?
Wisconsin's coming in. Big Ten play starts. And we're talking about a radio broadcaster.
We have literally a flip of a season. Last year was the most.
This would have been perfect last year. Would have gave us something compelling to talk about. Last winter stunk. And here we got to do it. I'm excited to break down the Nebraska or the Wisconsin game coming up. I'm excited to talk about that game. Yet here we are.
Can you imagine Gary Dolphin last year? Oh. Hell yeah, fire me.
Yeah, open mic.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine some of the comments Dolph was making then?
Oh, are you joking?
Oh, boy.
That would be a fun radio show in the future. Open mic, because we don't really say what we, let's be honest.
Oh, I say what I mean.
No, you don't.
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't. You don't talk
I
the same.
I just told you Gary Dolphin is not going to broadcast another Iowa basketball
game. But you colored up. You tickle it, massage it a little bit.
Well, I'm not going to drop an F-bomb here.
Well, I know that, but I'm talking like a podcast, like
really good.
We call it Gary Dolphin's open mic. Everybody.
Open mic night.
And we just literally say what's on our mind, and we don't try to massage it. We don't try to tickle it and color it and make it
all
pretty.
How about
you
do that for Hawkeye Nation? Instead of instant reaction podcast, do in-game podcast.
Oh, my.
That'd be dangerous.
And I'm actually decent. I'm not a crazy fan. I love the Hawkeyes, and I don't want everybody fired. But even I say, I mean, basketball, I'm not a good basketball fan. I will admit it. Watch football with me. Don't watch basketball with me
I'm
ever,
the exact
Trent.
Same way.
I'm a horrible, horrible dude.
I have to excuse myself and go down to the basement from time to time when Iowa basketball's on.
I'm a bleep.
I say things, you say things, and we're going to say more things coming up next, and we'll do it with Kevin Lehman talking Big Four basketball. Iowa, Iowa State, you and I and Drake, a hit from all of them coming up next. Kevin Lehman joins us on The Drive.
Hey, Des Moines, this is DA. You're locked into 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
It's green, moron.
Come on, move it, you clowns.
1700 The Champ. Right now, traffic.
Right now, we are running with accident-free conditions. No big issues or delays to report on as of now. Drive safe out there, Des Moines, and have a great afternoon.
This report is sponsored by Maxima Smart Security Lights at Costco.
We replaced our porch light with Maxima Smart Lights with camera and motion sensor. We get smartphone notifications when someone's at our door. Maximus, easy to install and keeps our family safe. Get Maximus porch lights and floodlights at Costco and Home Depot.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details. Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 57cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash can hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income. Go to 57cash.com, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 57cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 57cash.com. Type www.57cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 57cash.com. 57cash.com.
Welcome to McDonald's.
Can I get a triple breakfast stack? Since today is the big day, my time to shine. I'm taking names and showing them who's boss.
Well, good luck on your game today.
Game? No, I'm a substitute teacher for third graders.
Oh, that is big.
For every kind of big day, there's McDonald's new triple breakfast stacks, stacked with two sausage patties and two slices of cheese with bacon and egg on your choice of McMuffin, biscuit, or McGriddles.
Woo, go big! And pull around, please.
And participating McDonald's for a limited time.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at therookiesportscards.com.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind, and our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Build your business. At Signorama of Urbandale, we offer customized solutions for signs, branding, marketing, and advertising. We have a full range of custom sign and graphic services to meet your needs, build your brand, and create your image. Look around and you'll see how Andy Woodley and his staff help businesses enhance visibility and get noticed. Let us work with you to understand your unique marketing.
The Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
Trent Wolfgang back with you on The Drive. Time to talk some more college basketball after the dust up over in Iowa City. Gary Dolphin suspended for two games. Kevin Lehman joins us. And Kevin, be prepared. The mic is hot. Don't say anything you don't want over the air, okay?
You know what I hate about Kevin? Let me tell you, Trent. I mean, he's it's not bad looking from far away, but once you get close, let me tell you what Kevin looks like.
Oh, geez. Oh, Wolfgang. Unbelievable. What's yeah, happening,
Trent,
Kevin?
Are you talking to me about the live mic or your buddy Wolfgang?
Both.
Guy, you better be careful.
I know. We got a couple of live wires going in here. Well, Kevin, you've worked in front of a microphone for a long time. You know.
Oh.
You got to be careful.
You got to wait until they say you're clear. Mm-hmm. And I just came back from Paradise Jam, and a couple times our producer forgot to say we're clear. So I'm sitting there with my play-by-play guy, and we're looking at each other like we're writing notes to one another because we're afraid to speak because we might still be on air. It's part of the business. And as you guys know, broadcasting 101, always assume the mic is hot.
You have to. It's the only way to do it. And unfortunately for Gary Dolphin, that wasn't the case. And it overshadows, which is one of the biggest basketball games in a long time at Carver Hawkeye Arena tomorrow night. Let's talk about the game. Wisconsin comes in. They look to be the Badgers again. Down year last year, they battled a lot of injuries. This is a really good Badger team coming in. X's and O's, keeping microphones out of it. What do you expect to see tomorrow night in Carver?
Well, here's what I like, what I saw against Pitt. I saw an Iowa team that got out of that, did not press, because those guards were so quick for Pitt. They played half-court man, half-court different combination of zones. I like it much better for Iowa. I think in the Big Ten, for you to be a pressing team, it's difficult because the guard is good, and you have to recover, find three-point shooters, stop penetration. I like the way Fran coached that game against Pitt, and I thought it was huge that they came back and won that game. What a disaster that they were lost to a Pitt team that went 0-18 in the ACC last year. But, guys, Wisconsin, Demetric Trice, they got a guard that's shooting 60% from the three. They got a guard that's got quickness, gives Hawkeyes problems, and they got a guy inside, Ethan Happ. If you don't double Ethan Happ every trip, you got to at least keep him guessing. And I think when you double Ethan Happ, you have to send that immediately. You can't wait till Happ bounces it. He's going to chew you up. So this is the two teams, I think, very similar. Underachieved last year, got most of their personnel back. This is a big game to open the Big Ten for both Wisconsin and for the Hawkeyes.
Hey, Kevin, appreciate it. This is Wolfgang here. You brought up Happ and watched him. I'm just fascinated with his game. I don't know what he's going to be like in the NBA because he can't shoot. He can't shoot free throws. I mean, he might get there. We'll see. But he's a, like you said, I don't know what you do. Do you dig down? Do you double him? If you do, then if he's got shooters, they're going to hit it. How does he go against the zone? So if Iowa goes against a zone with Happ, can you explain to me what we're going to see from Happ in terms of a zone?
Well, the zones, as you know today, Wolfgang, are there's some sort of a matchup. But I think when it goes inside to him, here's what makes Ethan Happ so dangerous. You can run your offense through him.
Mm-hmm.
You can get him touches, and he's going to either score or make plays out of the double teams. So it is a tough combination. That's why I said you got to change up what you do, whether it's man, zone. You have to keep him uncomfortable if that's possible. And there are players that you can't speed up. He is one of those players. You can't make him rush. You can't get him playing out of his comfort zone. It's a really difficult matchup for Iowa because I think Happ's going to get his. Can you shut down the other guys? To me is what the big question is. And when you zone him, you know, you've got to have someone in his area, and if he's in a short corner, you got to trap him on that baseline. You got to pin him against the baseline to give him no place to play.
Important three-game stretch certainly coming up for the Hawkeyes. It is Wisconsin, then Michigan State on the road, and a week from tonight against Iowa State in Carver Hawkeye Arena. Speaking of the Cyclones, they'll be welcoming back a couple of players off of suspension, Cam Lard and Zaron Talley. Both those guys are going to be back starting next week with their game Monday against North Dakota State. The depth of this Iowa State team now starting to improve, getting those guys back. How difficult is it going to be to figure out minutes with the way Michael Jacobson's playing inside, though, trying to find a way now that you're going to incorporate Cam Lard into the mix?
I think that's a great question, Trent, because we talked for years about Fran McCaffrey going too deep, trying to play 11. Now he's down to 9, not by choice, and I like what I'm seeing out of Iowa. And when you talk to Steve Prohm, he's told me this numerous times. He doesn't like to go more than 8 deep. Oh, he likes a short rotation. So that's a great question because Cameron Lard is a difference maker. On the offensive glass, he has a special talent. But look at what Michael Jacobson has done. He's shooting 65%, 17 a game. It's going to be hard to decrease his minutes. And even the freshman in the backcourt, Halliburton's been sensational. So when you get Wigginton back, some of those minutes are going to go down. But I think Jacobson and Shaq, their experience being transfers, Shaq, a fifth-year guy, really adds to this Iowa State team. I like him, and I really think they're not good enough to beat Kansas State or Kansas, but I think this is a team that can possibly finish third or fourth in the Big 12.
Yeah, Kevin, we got about 3 minutes. You mentioned Prohm and wanting to only go 8. I'm cool with 8 and then the ninth guy maybe getting 6 minutes or something like that. I don't like to go more than that. When you talk to Prohm, how did he explain why he only likes to go 8 minutes? And then what's your philosophy on that, Kevin?
He actually said 7. He goes, wow. I want my best guys on the court getting the most minutes. He goes, I've always coached that way. And I thought about Jerry Tarkanian when he's at UNLV. Tark always said, I want 5 All-Americans and great cheerleaders. It leads to no problems in the locker rooms and no problems with playing time. This is going to be an interesting to see how Steve Prohm does this. I'm kind of with you, Wolfgang. I like an 8-man rotation. Your ninth guy is a specialist. maybe the three-point shooter against the zone. Maybe it's your third guy in the post, gives you five more fouls. But I think eight's a really nice number, and nine, and especially 10, is stretching it.
Final thing for you, Kevin, to the MVC, Drake with a real nice win over Boise State the other night. You and I goes on the road, and they take it on the chin to Utah State last night. The Bulldogs and the Panthers, it looks like you got the Illinois schools that look to be on the front half, certainly, of the MVC this year. A real possibility that Drake finishes ahead of you and I this year?
How about those Bulldogs?
Yeah.
Boise State win was huge. And then to go win at UMKC, to win on the road when you're a rebuilding program, I mean, this is a team that's 4-1. They've got North Dakota State up in Minneapolis. North Dakota State's not a wow you team. They could come out of this thing 5-1. You got a great point there. It's going to be interesting how this plays out. I'm looking at a Northern Iowa team, and I called four of their games so far, three down the Paradise Jam. They are not your typical Ben Jacobson team. They're in transition. They're not guarding like they used to. They're not shooting the ball. They're shooting it inconsistently. It's a team with a lot of question marks right now at Northern Iowa, but usually Ben gets them straightened out. But I like what I'm seeing at the Knapp Center under Darren DeVries, what he's doing with it. A team he basically put together last spring.
How's the tan after your trip down south?
It's fading. It's
fading already. Oh, no.
Yeah, I got caught in that snowstorm trying to get back.
Oh, so the trip was extended a little bit. You were down there for like a month, Kevin.
Well, I almost called Wolfgang because they couldn't get me into Cedar Rapids. Yeah. They get me into Des Moines, and I had no ride from Des Moines. So, Wolfgang, if I had your number, I was going to call you at 2 a.m. Monday morning to get me from Des Moines to Iowa City.
I'm good like that. You know that, I got your back.
You don't want to ride with Wolfgang.
You're my man. I know Trent wouldn't answer, but I thought I might have a shot with you.
Be good, Kevin. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
Kevin Laban joining us. Look around college basketball. Next week at this time, we'll be previewing Iowa State. That's going to be fun. But before that, Iowa still has two monster games, Wisconsin, Michigan State. I like the Big Ten conference games early in a way. I dislike it. It's that dichotomy. It's tough. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. Going to talk some college football next. Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports joins us.
Wake up with the all-new morning show on 1700 The Champ. Taz and the Moose. Every weekday morning from 5 to 8. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back. The drive continues on 1700 The Champ. Trenton Wolfgang with you, taking you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Then we have Thursday Night Football with the Saints and the Cowboys. The coverage with Westwood One. Right now we're talking college football. From down in the state of Texas, by the way, Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com. He hops aboard to talk with us. Ben, good to talk to you again. Are you all mired in cowboy hysteria down there right now?
Man, I don't watch the Cowboys.
What are you, a Texans fan?
I'm not from Texas.
Ah.
So I have no allegiances out here. I'm a self-loathing Steelers fan.
Okay, all right, so... You went to North Texas. We've talked about the Mean Green in past conversations. So what made you head down that way? Where are you from? You're an Oklahoma kid?
No, man. I'm from West Virginia.
You went from West Virginia to North Texas. Explain this one to me. What were you, a D1 pitcher? What's going on here?
No, man. My family moved around.
Ah, that'll happen. That'll happen.
Yeah, No, it's fine, man. I left West Virginia when I was 12. Uh-huh. I was in Arizona for a couple years, ended up in Texas, and, you know, it's cool. I could have made you feel real bad about, though, because I come from a family of divorce. I could have put you, like, really on the spot.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm in the same boat.
Made you feel real bad about that one.
Well, I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same boat, so we could have gone down a path, but we won't head down that path. People don't want to hear that, I don't think, in Sports Talk Radio. What they do want to hear about is the college football playoff, bowl destinations, and a complete breakdown of Iowa State Drake this weekend. I'm sure you got one for us, Ben.
Yeah, I can give you one. How much time you got?
give us a good 20 seconds on the Bulldogs and Cyclones.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're going to play a basketball game, and one of these two teams is going to win. And there's my breakdown.
Good talking to you, Ben.
Appreciate that. That's great.
Appreciate it.
No, seriously, Ben, let's start with, I think, the biggest game of the weekend, and that's certainly the Big 12 title game with Texas and Oklahoma. You have the rivalry component, and the horns up versus horns down. Fill us in, because, I mean, it feels like, from what I've been reading, that's like giving the middle finger to somebody, a Longhorn fan.
We jumped the shark with this. We really have. But like, people have been doing horn down for a long time. Like, I don't know why suddenly it became such a big deal. And like I mentioned, I was from West Virginia, so I was covering the West Virginia-Oklahoma game last Friday. Mm-hmm. And West Virginia fans were like doing horns down during the game, and I'm sitting there going, like, first of all, like, y'all know who you're playing, right? Like, it's not Texas, it's Oklahoma. If there's any team that's going to be with you, was this, like, an act of, like, singularity? Like, you are with Oklahoma on this one? It seems to sort of a weird thing to try to bring to that game. But it's like West Virginia fans discovered, like, you know how when you were studying for, like, the SATs and you learned in your prep a new word, mm-hmm. and so you just started using that $2 word for like the next 2 weeks in every single aspect of your life, hoping you might just find a situation for it, but you damn well going to use it until you could get it right. Like, that's what I feel like West Virginia fans with the horns out. Like, they, for some reason, they just now started clinging on to it this year, so they started using it in every situation, and Oklahoma's like, word, man, well, we don't like them either, so, I mean, this is cool with us. So, like, between that and Texas players getting offended by it, Sam Ellinger going on Twitter, like, I'm going to remember every single person who does horns down. I'm like, yo, man, that's everyone in the known universe. Like, it's just, you have to be able to get past that. And now that it's apparently become some kind of thing that the refs are going to watch out for in the Big 12 championship game, and what was funny to me was they said, context matters in this. I'm like, yo, there's only one context for horns down, man. There's no other context for what that means. And I don't know why this has become such a feelings ball issue where suddenly we're worried about what everyone's feeling about a horns down. It's been something that has gone on for a really long time. Finally, Texas and Oklahoma are good enough again that this game is matters enough to be played twice. And this is what we're worried about. I mean, this is peak Big 12, if I've ever seen it, a conference that spectacularly manages to trip over its own self like it has two FE.
With Ben, the Texas-Oklahoma game, it interests me. I've got some Oklahoma blood in my family, so I see some of these Oklahoma fans when they play Texas, and they completely start acting like different people. Do you buy the fact? I mean, is this a championship game and that's all it is? Or does the rivalry even come in more? Does that even matter, Ben? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. It matters, yes, because it's the two teams that don't like each other playing again. So, yes, it certainly matters. But, you know, I think each side's coming at it from a little bit of a different angle. Oklahoma needs to win this game to probably get into the playoffs. The only situation I would imagine in which that doesn't happen is if Georgia beats Alabama. The fact that Oklahoma is ahead of Ohio State, they both have a game left. Oklahoma's looking at this in terms of, you know, one, we need to get this win just for our larger goal, but also you want to get it to avenge the loss from earlier in the season. So it means something to them on a couple of levels. For Texas, you certainly want to beat Oklahoma twice for bragging rights, but, and I'm not saying this that they're approaching this game in any kind of moral victory thing, but this is year two for Tom Herman, and he's already got them to 9-3. You have two more opportunities to get that 10th win. You have a chance to get the Big 12 championship. I think they look at it as maybe not as much about Oklahoma and more about the fact of, you know, we might finally be trending in the right direction. I think regardless of what happens on Saturday and what happens in bowl season, the fact that they're this kind of far ahead of schedule indicates to me that they're going to be preseason top 10 for sure going into 2019. And whereas I think Herman overachieved a little bit this year, that's no longer going to be on the table. You are going to be expected then to compete at the level that you've wanted to now for the last decade. So this is the last opportunity for Texas to kind of go into a major game and go, you know what, we feel really good about where we are, and regardless of the outcome, we feel pretty good about the future. This is sort of the last time that they're going to be able to say that.
Any path that Ohio State and Oklahoma, if it comes down to just them for the fourth spot, say Georgia's blown out and we'll remove them from consideration, any path at all that you can envision that Ohio State can take over for Oklahoma?
It's going to be really tough. I don't put anything past the selection committee at this point, but this is not the same situation as TCU Baylor versus Ohio State 4 years ago. This is very different, not just in the fact that the Big 12 now is the 13th game, but look, Baylor, TCU are going to get passed up in this situation. But Oklahoma most likely is not. Now, in the way that these two games are played, there's a chance if Ohio State has a quote-unquote more impressive showing, but by definition, Oklahoma is playing the more impressive opponent in its conference championship game. I actually thought that the committee might lean towards Ohio State before they had the rankings reveal on Tuesday night. Just thought the way that they beat Michigan, I thought that was going to give them an edge. The fact that they've looked at the entire body of work and said, we don't feel like one game is enough to give them that edge over Oklahoma, I don't get the impression that they're going to give them that benefit against Northwestern.
Yeah, Ben, completely obsessed with the Ohio State-Michigan thing. Trent and I were talking last week. What if Harbaugh loses, ... And we both were like, wow, we didn't even think of that. And people we were talking to didn't even think of that. Well, guess what? It happened. Do you have a feel for what's going on in Ann Arbor? I mean, we kind of have a feel on the outside, but there's no real pressure for his job, I'm guessing. Do you have connections inside there? What may be happening?
No, so there's no pressure on Harbaugh that he wasn't already feeling. They got 10 wins this year. That's a good season. You know, they won 10 games. You can't really look past that. And when I think coming into this year, they knew that, you know, they had to improve. Last year was, I think they went like 8-5, and by Michigan standards, it was a little bit of a rebuild, even though they were ranked high in the preseason poll. I think most reasonable people knew they were going to take a step back. They had to kind of get that step forward again this year. And for most of the year, they played really well. I mean, the offense really progressed. You know, Shea Patterson, I thought, did a really good job as the year went on of making plays. I think they built the offense around him some. So they've done a really good job of modifying and getting better. They just really laid an egg against Ohio State. They got out-coached. I mean, Urban Meyer, I know people have thoughts about him, but I think they came in with the right game plan. They were ready. Their linebackers played better. You know, the offensive line was probably the best unit on the field that day. So they just straight up played better and were better coached than Michigan. And so I think it's really more about giving credit to Ohio State there. But for Michigan and Harbaugh, he's always going to be held to the standard of, can you beat Ohio State? Can you win a Big Ten championship and compete for a playoff spot? He didn't, in one foul swoop, he didn't get any of those. But I think it would be different if we're still talking about Michigan winning 8 games every single year. The fact that they showed an improvement, I think he's certainly fine. I don't think he's on any kind of hot seat, but there is still a mounting pressure that he needs to be able to check off some of these things from his list. And I think moving forward, year 5, year 6, if he's still unable to do those things, that's where it's going to probably start coming into play for his job. But this season was too successful otherwise for anyone to realistically think he should lose his job.
It looks like the college football regular season, if you will, is going to end with a little bit of a thud with the night games that we have coming up Saturday night. ACC and Big Ten championship games appear on paper to be blowouts. What's more likely to happen? The Northwestern beats the Buckeyes or Pitt beats Clemson?
Probably Northwestern. They're a better underdog than they are a favorite, and they can... if they can grind a game down and make it ugly, that's their best chance to win. That's how they were able to kind of keep it close with Notre Dame earlier this year. It's how they were able to beat Wisconsin. It's just, if you're able to sort of make it ugly, grind it out, play good defense, play the field position, then they have a shot. And for as great as Ohio State played against Michigan, I don't know that I trust them to just keep doing that. Now, that being said, because Ohio State has world-class speed and they're going to be playing indoors in Indianapolis on a fast track, you give Paris Campbell one mesh route and he's gone. So that's one of those games where it's either going to end like within a touchdown or Ohio State's going to win by like 28, right? It's going to be one of those two things. So Northwestern has a shot if they can dictate the game their way. Pitt, I don't know that they have the passing attack or the defensive backfield to contend with how good Clemson is in the pass with Trevor Lawrence or how weak they are defending the pass. Like South Carolina put up 500 passing yards on them. That's going to be something, obviously, that they address this week. It's been a vulnerability for them this year, but I don't know that Pitt has the... I don't know that Pitt has the onions for that one. It's just, it's not quite their game. So I think it's more of a bad matchup for them. And they come out of a really bad division. And they got better down the stretch, but they weren't like that much better.
Yeah, Ben, we get to watch, obviously, the overlapping of Big Ten, Big 12. So we get to watch a ton of that. I'm a little embarrassed of how little I've seen of Clemson. I'm not sure why that is. Do they give Alabama the best matchup from what you've seen? I just haven't seen them a ton, so I can't even give any opinion.
So Clemson can score with Alabama. They have Trevor Lawrence is just a magician as a quarterback. He has great downfield accuracy. He throws darts. Clemson's wide receivers are supremely well-coached. I mean, they go out and they make hero catches. Like, T. Higgins makes at least, like, one absurd catch every single week, and I don't think Hunter Renfrow has ever made an easy catch. I think all of his catches have been super clutch catches, so their wide receiver play is really, really good. So offensively, yeah, I think Clemson could score with Alabama. Where I tend to be more concerned about them, again, is their pass defense. They gave up a ton of yards in points to South Carolina. Like Debo Samuel was a real problem for them. And now you put them up against Alabama's wideouts and Tua Tagovailoa, whose ball placement is great. So I think Clemson would have a lot of the same issues that any team would have against Alabama. They just have the ability to score with them. If Oklahoma and Alabama play in a semifinal, and I've kind of been on this train for a while and starting to catch on some nationally. Some people still really disagree with the sentiment. I think Oklahoma would be a tougher matchup for them than people think. And it's not because, look, Oklahoma doesn't have a good defense. Like, I get that. Alabama will score on them at will. But if you're talking about an offense that can go volley with them and go toe-to-toe with them, I think it's Oklahoma's. Because, again, going back to that West Virginia game last Friday, in the first half, they had 26 plays against the Mountaineers at 14 yards a play. There is no margin for error for Oklahoma's offense because their defense is so bad.
Yeah.
And yet, they are historically good offensively. They have to be in order to be 11-1. And you think at some point that would trip them up because like no team can be that perfect for 12, 13 weeks at a time. And yet, Oklahoma has come about as close to perfection as you can possibly come with that offense. So I've really given up trying to think that the defense is going to hold at anything and that the offense is just going to have to do all the legwork. They do. So if you're looking at a team that can just go do as Alabama does for as long as possible, I think it's the Sooners. I don't know that they would win because eventually you have to make a stop, but I think for at least a half, maybe three quarters, they could make it very interesting.
Ben Kercheval, CBSSports.com. Ben, thanks as always for your time. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Take care, man.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben Kercheval joining us as we take a look around college football. You got a pick? Drake, Iowa State? 42.5 is the number.
You know I stay away from all those games. If it were up to me, I would.
We got to pick it tomorrow. You made that rule
but
that we got to pick.
Specify right. We have to pick. I don't think it should go towards our money because that's not something
no,
I bet on.
No. In fact.
So I screwed up.
Well, if you're looking for the way that I'm betting, I have the number in my pick out at SportsBet Collective. You can go to SportsBet Co. on Twitter, find that pick. You can get five picks for $3.95. It's a good deal, Jim. You
right,
know?
I got a buck right here. I was going to go get a Diet Dew, but...
You're getting close. You're getting close.
Will you give me half a pick?
I'll probably tell you that pick tomorrow. Stay tuned and you'll be able to get that. Stay tuned with us as we continue. We got the 5 o'clock hour right around the corner. Ben Visser will be a part of it. We'll talk Cyclones with him, the top 5 and 5, and a whole lot more as we continue on 1700 The Champ.